Hello, hello. Welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson, a podcast about a little bit of everything. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I'm here with my co-host, Casey B., but that is not all. Today is a guest episode with Katie Pinnell. She is a copywriter. And Casey, do you know what a copywriter is?
You've told me. I remember vaguely.
I told Casey, I'm so excited to have Katie on the podcast. She's so cool and she's amazing at what she does. And he goes, what does she do? I said, she's a copywriter. And he goes, so she works with like copyrights, like with trademarks? And I'm like, no, that's different. So just getting started here, Katie writes copy, which is writing the words, the advertisement, all of that good stuff that you would see on a website. Writing websites is her specialty, but we talk all about copy in general in this episode. So she is the interview, and you guys are going to learn so much from her. But we will get into toast and roast, and then I'll do a little intro into her. And seriously, get out a notepad, write the stuff down that she says. Your mind will be blown. There are times during this episode where she says something to me, and I have nothing to say because it completely goes against things that I have been taught in business, but it makes so much sense the way she just says it. So she will set you straight. And if you are kind of like Casey, you didn't even really think about what a copywriter is, you'll be opened up to a whole new world. So let's get into toast and roast. What you got, Casey B? I always make you start, but then I get mad because you're not very energetic.
I'm super energetic all the time. You know this.
Okay, so let's Woo-hoo! Get excited about a toast.
Woo-hoo-hoo. A toast?
Yes.
I still need to think about my toast.
Oh, my God. My
roast is I'm turning into an old man, though.
Turning into?
And
I've known you for 7 years, and you've always been an old man. I don't know what you're talking about, turning into an old man.
I'm turning into an old man. I got
older?
The arthritis.
What specifically today made you think about you being an old man?
Well, it's mainly this week because the weather's changing and I am 28 and I have freaking arthritis in my wrist and in my ankles. And it's like, it hurts very bad and I don't like it. That's my roast. I'm getting older.
You've been an old man since I met you.
I know.
The way you talk, the way you act, okay. The things you enjoy,
well,
the things you laugh at.
I'm
going to
watch my programs.
Okay.
I'm going to play some Sudoku.
My toast of the week kind of leads into my roast. They could go one way or the other, but they're connected. I do this quite a bit. But my toast was actually just having tonight was helping my brother who's in high school with some math, and it was actually good math problems because a lot of stuff that is taught as required teaching, I think, in high school, people never use again in their lives. And this was good math looking at investments and how long it takes to pay things off. So toast, because I got to use my brain, my math brain, which I really love using. Haven't been able to use it as much as usual because I guess another roast I could say, I got cut down to 80% time for work. So working 4 days a week starting soon, which is bound to happen with everything in the world. So I'm still very lucky that I got that option. But anyways, that's another topic, but I like to be transparent. So I was just happy to be doing math, to be working, like, I don't know. Teaching people math is something that brings me a lot of joy. And I used to actually be able to do it a lot in my job because you would be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't be, how many people, whether they're college kids, whether they've graduated college, or whatever, don't know how to do simple math, like proportions. But proportions are my favorite, by the way.
I love math.
I'm getting really nerdy. But my roast is that this, I shouldn't say it was a test, this assignment that he was looking at, every question was relating to college and pay. And they were looking at statistics with college, salary, and I said that like a celery, like the fruit.
Salary.
College, salary.
The fruit?
The vegetable.
The vegetable?
What else would it be?
I don't know what it is now.
College, salary, and unemployment. And it was just straight propaganda. And yes, I went to college, and so I am not completely against college, but I think putting this out there and having it be the base of a full assignment, and it's probably the base of multiple assignments across high school ages, it's just so bad and damaging. And it's just says all these things that are not really true nowadays either.
No.
Like, the whole message behind it was, you know, if you get a doctorate, there's a lower chance of you getting unemployment. But a lot less people get a doctorate degree. That's how it works. Percentages, proportions, again, it's a smaller sample size. And what I always say is my textbook in college in statistics, which was one of my favorite subjects, and I was so good at it, they wanted me to tutor, but I did not have time, but I would. I think I should do that now. But anyways, our textbook was called How to Lie with Statistics. And so I'm always looking at statistics with a critical eye, you know, coronavirus, but coronavirus, election year, there's statistics everywhere. What do they really mean? So just some fun things. I don't know what I'm going to get a little crazy now if I keep going off on all that. But anyways, I was annoyed that it was basically a whole assignment to high school students all about how they should go to college. And the most annoying part was it was all about paying off your school investment. And none of them mentioned anything about paying for school while you were in school. All of them said you start paying for school after school. And some people can work through school and not have to pay or take out loans for a long time later. And I really, really think that that is the future. And people really need to look into that, go to community college for 2 years, and then go transfer or don't transfer. Go to a trade school. But that's my PSA for today. I like doing math, and I don't like college propaganda. What you got for your roast?
For my toast?
Your toast. Did we not do toast for you yet?
No, I only did a roast. Okay. I'm getting old.
What's your toast then?
My toast is probably just on Monday. I got to go run around, do all kinds of stuff, and I got to work on your desk and work on some other things in the garage, and I just felt really productive. And I sometimes when I stay home and have extra day off, I just feel like a slug, and I'm like, oh, I'm not getting anything done. But
I felt you were like you were a slug because you slept until 11 a.m.
I slept until 10:29.
That's not true.
10:29. But I got productive after that. Very productive.
I am so excited for my desk to be done, and then we will do more videos. I'll be able to record more of my podcasts from my office. I cleaned out the office. That would have been my toast for the week if I didn't get to do what happened tonight with Casey and I helping out with some math tutoring. But that concludes Toast and Roast, I think. And okay, each week I also give a podcast recommendation because, as you guys know, I'm extremely passionate about podcasts. I listen to so many each week, and I want you guys to listen to more. Some of these, you know, I listen to will totally align with what you like, and some of them will be way off with what you like because I listen to a really wide variety. But the one that really made me think this week is, it's a little bit older catching up, but I listened to Miley Cyrus on Joe Rogan. And it was just a really good conversation. And Joe is very intense and Miley is very intense. And it was just really interesting hearing Miley Cyrus's perspective more as a grown-up and a lot less like Hannah Montana and then her crazy phase. Like, she's really still a very intense, hyperactive person, but channeling that energy into her writing and producing and directing. It was really interesting to hear her kind of how she's grown up. And it was really interesting also because Joe just keeps telling her, you need to work out. I think that's what you need to do is work out, which is, I think, Joe's advice to literally everyone. He's like, you just have so much energy. I think you need to work out. She's like, She has the craziest voice. It's just really interesting. I'm not going to do a Miley Cyrus impression because I just cannot. But that's my podcast recommendation for the week. And if anyone has listened to that one, let me know because I'd like to talk about it. I think it was quite interesting. Also, if you're into comedy, Ron White was also on Joe Rogan's podcast recently. Also a good one. I only listened to like one out of 7 of Joe's episodes because he just puts out too much content. Said that a million times. That's it for the podcast recommendation segment. Okay, now the moment you've been waiting for, we are going to get to Katie's interview. Like I said, her name is Katie Pennell. She is a copywriter. I met her online and she is actually friends with Tatiana, who was on the podcast a couple weeks ago. So they are both just really powerful women, incredibly smart. And I love Katie's energy. I love her creativity. And I say this a couple times in the interview, but she has the best written website I have ever seen. I went through every single page of her website and just kept reading because I wanted to read more of what she was writing. And that is what copywriters should do. So she is in the right path. She's amazing. You're going to learn a lot. Even if you're not interested in being a copywriter, everyone writes, whether it's emails, whether it's an introduction, whatever it is, you are going to have to write something. You will. So you need to hear what she has to say. And it will also make you think about what you are seeing as a consumer who is reading copy from advertisers. So here's the interview. Hope you love it. I know you will. Welcome to the podcast, Katie Pennell. She is a copywriter and she's going to tell us all about what that means. It is not doing copyrights or trademarks. So let's get into it. Welcome, Katie. Can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do and where you're from and all that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Katie Pennell. I'm a copywriter and creative director for brands who don't want to be built on buzzwords. So what that means is I'm so very anti-fluffy copy and all the things that you're probably just sick of seeing that really don't have, they don't carry, some words don't carry any weight anymore, and that's not the kind of copy I'm into. So I write the words that make you expensive, and I put your personality on a digital page, quote unquote. So wherever there is a chance for personality to be infused into your writing, that's what I do for you, or that's what I teach you how to do yourself.
Yes, and you have the absolute best website I've ever seen. Your About Me page, I mean, it has a crossword puzzle on it. Like, it's amazing. So I wanted to start out and see kind of what some of your pet peeves are about writing and advertising, and because I know you have some, and things that are overused, and you know, because you work to make people stand out. And so sometimes people think they're standing out or they think they're being effective, and tell us about what they're doing wrong.
Oh, you've just opened a can of worms.
I know. I see what you say about this and I love it. So,
I'll start with about pages because you brought up my about page first. The biggest misconception about pages is people always say it's not about you, it's about them, but it really is about you. It's right. Totally about you. That's why they click it. Yeah. They want to learn more about you. So what I like to do with about pages is obviously start with something that relates to them, the part of your story that they can easily relate to or say, oh, I've been there. I get that. I can feel your pain, right? But the rest of it really should be about you. Tell your story, tell them your quirks, make you fun, make you interesting. One of the things I like to say is I make you as cool online as you are in real life. Because so many people think they have to be a different person online, or you have to be more poised or more professional or just more insert stuffy adjective here, mm-hmm. instead yeah. of just being yourself. So your about page really should be yourself. But with that being said, the biggest complaint that I have, the biggest offender to me personally on about pages is when people talk about like their coffee consumption. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm so obsessed with iced coffee, or it took me, you know, like they have the stats about X number of whatever service they're in, this many coffees consumed, this many daily, like drinking nobody pumpkin cares about spice your coffee. Exactly. In fact, something I told my Facebook group just last week, you know, my whole chili lime methodology. And I can talk about that if you'd like me to as well. But liking fall and liking pumpkin spice lattes doesn't make you special. Like, everybody likes that stuff.
It's harsh, but it's so true.
Yeah, but it's like, it's honestly more unique if you don't like pumpkin spice lattes in the fall.
Right.
So that's the biggest faux pas I see on about pages. People think they try to be themselves, but they try to be like the relatable part about yourself instead of the part that just actually makes you different, makes you interesting, makes people want to read the rest of the page. Because if I see iced coffee, I'm done. I'm like, okay, great. You love coffee. Me too. Bye.
Everyone is drinking iced coffee.
Exactly. But the other offenders, I actually have a whole list of fluffy words that should fluff off, which is the name of my Facebook group. But other words that should really fluff off nowadays, 10K months, like that's awesome. 10K months are cool. They're great, but that should not be the standard. Like, why not more?
Yeah.
Who's to say that's what we should all aim for? So 10K months, the word authentic, I think authentic has become the trendy thing to do instead of like actually being yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough one. I feel like I've noticed that a lot. And you don't want people not to be authentic, but you don't need to say it.
You don't have to tell people to literally be themselves. Like, just be genuine.
Yeah.
I feel like that's such a better word than authentic because now that word's become trendy.
Mm-hmm.
Another phrase that I think people should stop saying is like vulnerability. Or I'm not super vulnerable here. Just start with a story. Just literally start in the most pivotal part of the story. Start with the climax or the whoa moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then people will keep reading from there. You don't have to give them any sort of warning. You don't have to say, oh, gosh, I'm being so vulnerable here. That doesn't feel, quote unquote, authentic.
No, it doesn't. Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, I literally have a list of 121 words. So
121. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're all using them.
The top of my head. But, and the thing about the fluffy words, they're not words that you should never say. They're just words that you need to add more context around. So everyone loves to throw around content is king, content is king, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Context is king. And that's why you can get away with saying anything online, saying anything off the top of your brain, because your brain is where your personality is online. Online, we're very 2D, so our copy has to be the 3D parts of us. And you have to do that using your brand and your brain and your personality and all the stuff that people like to just like turn off. You can't turn off your brain and just use fluffy words. You have to make it interesting. You have to give it more context.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we're like diving in like to all the good stuff, like at the jump day. Here. No, I love it. I love it. I want to get back into that, but I feel like if I don't get into about you at first, we're just never going to get there because I just want to keep learning. So let's just start really quick how you got into the position you are now, where you are doing copywriting, like you're your own boss. Like, tell us just a quick journey about that part first, and then you can please teach us more,
totally,
because I'm loving it.
Yeah, you should have stopped me early on. I could go on.
I do not want to stop you.
So I guess the long story short is I always wanted to be a performer. I have a background in theater. I sing with my husband. We have our own little business where we do weddings for weddings, parties, and events and things like that. So I've always wanted to be a performer, and I wanted larger than life to go into musical theater, do the whole Broadway thing, sing, dance, live my life on stage. And like a lot of creatives, I was influenced by the practical choice. So I stopped pursuing musical theater. That's where what I went to school for initially, and switched to PR. And I loved PR. And I was like, well, writing is still creative. Like, it's still fun. I can still be a good writer. And I really enjoyed it. So there was a girl in my PR class who turned around one day, handed me a post-it note. And she was like, it literally said, you're pretty, can you sing? And I was like,
oh my God.
I'd never talked to this girl before. And I wrote back, yes, why? And she wrote an email and she said, I already texted my boss. Email this woman if you want to do princess parties. And I was like, oh, cool. So I still kind of got to scratch my performing itch because I started doing princess parties for kids. I was an off-brand party princess. I would dress up as whatever character. You can't legally say who, because Disney. But I was some off-brand princesses, and I got to sing, and I got to make some really good money on the weekends doing this for kids' parties. And one of my PR classes, I had to come up with like a PR and marketing plan for a business of my choice. It could be real or fake. So I decided to do it for the real company that I worked for. And I made this whole PR plan, this whole marketing plan, everything from events that we should do to like social media content, all that stuff. And I decided to pitch it to my boss and say, hey, I did this for school, but I could actually execute this for you. And she was into it. So I said, this is great. So I went from party princess to also the marketing manager. I was like double dipping in the same company. And I loved it. I had to self-teach myself everything because I pitched this as just like a PR student. And I was so inspired because this whole company was run out of her basement and she was just like doing the entrepreneur thing. I'm like, this is cool. So I kind of got my feet wet there. And I did that for a couple years and then moved on to another children's performing arts company where I stepped up as the voice teacher and the marketing person again. And I just loved it. And I did that for a little while. Both of those were part-time jobs. So I wanted to avoid a 9-to-5 at all possible, like at all possible. Because the, like I said, the theater kid in me was screaming, like, I can't sit in a desk, in a cubicle. There's no way. I have to be,
you're like, I just want to sing.
I can't do it. So I made that work. I was determined to make my little part-time jobs, double dipping in both places, work for a while, until I didn't, until I was like, okay, well, need more money. So I started working for a marketing agency. I only lasted there for about a year before I was like, nope, can't do that. So then I started my own business and it's been 3 years now. And I started doing just like marketing in general. So lots of different marketing services. And then I just, you know, niche down as you do and landed on the part that I love most, that my clients liked most about what I offered. And that was copywriting. So then I just went, you know, balls to the wall, copywriting.
I love it. This is so funny because my senior culminating project, and I was not in PR, I was in sport management, and actually we did it in a small group of people, and it's kind of weird because you had to put on an event and you're supposed to make money and it's a whole event process. And what we decided to do was a princess party. So we had a off-brand, you know, Moana, Cinderella. So I totally know exactly what you're talking about. And it was fun. And I was researching businesses like the one that you were working for. So it's just crazy. Such a small world and weird connections. But
I had a blast, and I had even more of a blast when I put two and two together, that better marketing equals more bookings equals more money.
Yes.
And then again, like, oh wait, people do this for a living. Like, I could do this. And it's funny because now I've actually had two copy clients who are also former princesses with me.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. That have
started their own businesses. Yeah, it's kind of funny. We're still all connected.
I love it. Your little princess group just running the world. I love it.
And now there's three of us that have our own business.
That is so, oh my gosh, I love it. So do you think that you kind of touched on it, but do you think that your kind of creativity and your musical theater background and all that kind of stuff, do you think that affects the way that you write? Because it's kind of weird because we're podcasting about your writing, but you can tell when you're listening that you have a way with words. And so do you think that all kind of went together? Do you think that if it affected you?
For sure. Absolutely. And it's funny that you say that because I feel like I'm a much better writer than I am talker. Although as you can tell, I could talk for days. My husband's nickname for me is Babble because I babble literally all the time. But it definitely has an impact on how I write. The first and the most obvious thing is I grew up doing theater and like getting into the other people's roles and pretending I was somebody else. So that's exactly how I write for my clients. This past week, I was like a 50-year-old woman, a 30-year-old woman, and mother of three children, like all in the same week. And some weeks I'm, I don't know, who's my, like, I'm trying to think of like my most off the wall random person, my role that I've assumed. But that's definitely how I can write copy so well for my clients, is I really have to get into their head, just like I did when I was performing, and really get into those character shoes and think all the deep questions that, you know, a lot of time people come to me kind of, it's kind of been a trend lately where people have hired another copywriter, or they've hired, or they've purchased a copywriting course and they did it and their copy was improved, but still not totally them. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things that makes me stand out as a copywriter is I ask really off the wall, weird questions to get into actually you as a person, not just what your offer is and your price points and how long you've been in business and like the less exciting stuff. Because that's what helps me be a better performer. And I mean that in performing as a copywriter, but also performing back in the day on stage.
It's crazy that you can almost express somebody else better than they can express themselves in writing.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to me. Like, you're actually talking about embodying the person. Totally. It's so good.
Ask the right questions. That's what it's about.
Good questions lead to good answers and good information. So I wanted to talk about, since this week you're launching Chili Lime, tell us all about Chili Lime. What is it? And I know you can talk about it forever, so you don't need much prompting. So tell us all about it. What is it? What do people learn from it?
I feel like this should come with a warning. So I'll start with the first, how I arrived at the beginning. We'll start at the very beginning. So the Chili Lime method kind of came about in the middle of quarantine, because everything was mundane and boring. You know, we were all locked down. We couldn't go anywhere, do anything. You're looking at the same four walls every day, you're watching paint dry. And that's kind of how I was feeling on social media. Everything was just really dull and everyone was saying the same things. They were saying the I help statement, which is my number one pet peeve on the internet. The I help statement was everywhere. It was a plague within itself. And then also Instagram follow threads. Everyone just says,
oh my God, those are, sorry, I don't want to cut you off, but those have been bugging me so much.
So like, bad.
Follow me to follow, I'll follow you back. And no, yeah. Stupid.
And everyone just drops the link. Like, you're just dropping a naked link. You're not giving anyone a reason to follow you. Mm-hmm. So I was like, screw it. I'm going to say something weird and see if it works. And it did. My first Chili Lime line, as I call them, was old ladies hit on my husband, and I documented on Instagram. By the way, I'm a copywriter. Mm-hmm. And I got so many followers. People thought it was hilarious. They all went and watched the highlight. And it was really fun. And then a friend of mine was like, you should turn this into a challenge. And I was like, what do you mean? Oh, I should back up and say how I named it Chili Lime. So everyone complimented like the weirdness of it, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, then I made a post about it. And I said, well, everyone seemed to really like this post, but all I did was I said something different. I was the chili lime in a sea of salt and pepper. Mm-hmm. And people were like, oh, because chili lime is that like unexpected flavor sensation. It's yes. Different. It's unique. It's the flavor you didn't know you needed. Like, you didn't know you were missing it. So then I turned it, a friend suggested I turn it into a challenge. And I thought, okay, well, how do I do that? Like, I was just being creative. I don't know if I can teach creativity. So I made it formulaic. That's something that only a copywriter can come up with. turning it into a method, turning it into a framework, and just naming it this off the wall thing that just honestly gets people's attention. It did disrupt that monotony and people were drawn to it. Like, to be cliche, but like a moth to a flame. They're like, ooh, this is different. What is this chili lime thing? And the challenge took off like wildfire. Now it is a mini course and I'm running round two of the Chili Lime Challenge, which is the all spice edition. And in this challenge, it's more so geared toward finding your own chili lime, because not everyone is chili lime. Like, that may be my flavor, but that may not be your flavor. Somebody else may be paprika. Somebody may be, I don't know, cherry limeade. Like, there are just so many different flavors out there. And people have such a hard time pinpointing what theirs is. So that's what the All Spice Edition is about.
Let's talk about it, if it's okay, the I help bios, because I have been in I guess, personal development and then also business development and entrepreneurship. That's basically, it's been taught to me multiple times. Your bio, your mission statement is, I help who do what, how. And this Chili Lime bio is taking that away, but you're still getting the point across and you're still converting clients. Because the big thing that I've heard about I help is that's how you get more people, is they want to know if you're going to help them. But then you're like, no, people are bored with that. People don't want to read that. They've seen 10,000 of them, because 10,000 of us are being taught that. So exactly.
Yeah. And if your eyes, yeah, your eyes just glaze over it at some point. If every, you know, most of us who are following each other online, we're all in the entrepreneur space or personal development space. And that is what we're being taught. So when you go to follow somebody, what's going to stand out? Another I help statement or something more fun? How are you going to get more followers? What about the I help statement makes them want to message you? Like, that's the whole thing about like breaking down that 2D barrier and becoming a 3D person. So I'll tell you the two biggest issues I have with the I help. The first one is the I help statement, the way it's been taught to me is that I help who do what, and then you're supposed to make that about the result that you get people, right? Mm-hmm. Like that desired outcome. But most of the time, people have their ideal client wrong. So you are making up an I help statement based on an ideal client you also made up that doesn't exactly fit your offer. So that result is not appealing to them, because it's not, your offer's not appealing to them because it's the wrong person. And it kind of like, you can peel all these layers back and think, why am I trying to sell a dream to somebody who doesn't know that that's their dream to be sold?
Oh my God, you're blowing my mind.
this one will blow your mind even more. The second reason I hate the I help statement is, when in the history of ever has help been something you compensate? Nobody says, hey, can you help me move, and pays you big money. They pay you in pizza and beer. Whenever you get somebody's help, it's voluntary. You're asking for someone to help you. It's asking for volunteers. So when you voluntarily say, I help you do blah, 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 it's like you're saying, oh, I'm no problem. I'll just help you. I don't expect to be compensated for this.
Oh my God. What a freaking, oh my God, like a light in the tunnel, like, no, a lighthouse. That's the one that helps you find where you're supposed to go. Like, oh my God, like, duh.
Like, yeah, it's so crazy to me. It's cringy. Like, no, I know I'm good at what I do, so I'm not going to help you. I'm going to ask you to pay me, and then I'll show you how to do it. Help insinuates that you're just like going to do it for them. I'll help you. So then what happens as a result is you get followers with the I help statement, but you get freeloaders who want all your free content, who have no intent to pay you in the future. And I mean, I don't know about you, but like, I want to get paid for my genius. If I can monetize every single post, that's what I'm going to do. Because I've worked long and hard at this and I should be paid for it. That's why we're in business, not just to help.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I totally see that. And, you know, as someone who is, I mean, we're all consumers also. So we can, when you say stuff like that, I'm sure everyone has people in mind that they're like, oh yeah, I just follow them because I learn every once in a while they teach this good stuff, but I'm probably not going to buy from them. I'm not going to commit, but they still keep giving me good stuff, but mm-hmm. you know, which is great. But then at one point, you know, you're going to want to convert. They want to make money. So, oh my God, I love it.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about your Facebook group? Because it's pretty big and it's pretty popping. People are talking about it. Like, people act like, I love a Facebook group. That's something I've talked about so many times. They're like one of the few good things about social media still. Mm-hmm. Excluding those Instagram follow threads though. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't host those in my group.
Yes,
interestingly enough, because everyone knows how I feel about it. So my Facebook group is called Fluff Off, Copywriting and Brand Strategy That Doesn't Suck. Because that's what it is. I teach copywriting and how to like develop a brand that doesn't make you want to claw your eyeballs out or gouge them out with a spoon. the biggest thing about my Facebook group that I think is different is everybody in there is familiar with the chili lime methodology. So a lot of times it's popping off because people are saying, hey, I updated my bio. What do you guys think about it? And everyone's able to give feedback that's not me, which is really great. It's kind of like self-sustaining at this point where people say, oh, I don't know, that's not really it, or this could be different, or how about you try this angle? So that's really fun about the Facebook group. But I also do fluff office hours where you can just kind of permission granted pick my brain for an hour once a week, and I do it live once a month.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I love Facebook groups, and especially like yours, it provides so much value. So like, awesome. Full disclosure, I'm in the Facebook group. I've been in it for a couple weeks now, and I've just been learning so much just from other people talking to each other. And, you know, that's where you are, you know, helping. You're giving people value for free. You created this whole community, but
exactly,
these people bought something from you. Like,
yeah.
Awesome. So you're doing chili lime again, and this is gonna come out on Friday, so it's already closed. But so what are other ways that people can, you know, learn from you, follow you, like work with you? What kind of stuff do you offer?
So my chili lime method mini course is available all the time, and that's actually the original chili lime challenge, but now as a low ticket $47 offer.
Everyone needs to do that, because everyone who listens to this, almost everyone, will have an Instagram bio. And even if you're not selling anything, like, it's good to learn how you can stand out, how you just about yourself, how you can write. Everyone needs to write, even if it's just emails to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the chili lime mini course is really, yes, everyone's favorite part is the bio for sure. Mm-hmm. But I also talk about how to pitch yourself in these Facebook groups so you don't get lost in the comment thread. And how to promote your products and services without feeling salesy about it. So I go through the entire buyer journey and kind of break down the sales psychology of it and why standing out is critical if you want to appeal to different people's perception of what you do and, you know, sell to them without feeling weird about it, because that's how we make money. So that chili lime method is available all the time. My Facebook group is a great place to hang out, and Instagram, I suppose, as well.
Yes, all the things. They're all so good. I wanted to know, just because you are such a good writer and you make people sound like, you just feel like you just know you. Like when I was reading your website, every page of it is fun to read. Can you tell me about any clients that you've had besides obviously like yourself and then the Princess business? Like, what is something that's like kind of out there that might've been like a challenge for you, but then you really got into it and were able to kind of show off your real skill? Because talking about yourself is actually really hard, but it's probably a little bit easier than getting into the head of something that's a little bit outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah. And that's actually a really great question, because so many times a lot of people think it's so much harder to write for yourself. I don't know if you feel that way. But a lot of people do. And for me, I kind of have the opposite experience. When I'm writing for myself, I can like churn out web copy no problem, because it's really about self-awareness. And that's why my questions are so specific to my clients, because I really want them to get to know themselves better so then they can articulate themselves to me better. I know this happens to graphic designers too, but the whole I'll know it when I see it, mm-hmm. or I'll know when it sounds right, that doesn't work. That is asking for bad copy. So really it's about being able to be completely self-aware to say, this totally sounds like me. These are words I use. These are phrases I use. But I will say one of the most challenging niches that I've had to write for are photographers, because photographers are selling a service, but the result is a product, much like copy. But the ones that I'm thinking about are wedding photographers, and what makes it challenging to them is because they want to say the like really fluffy, lovey-dovey kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But the bride is just looking for quick information because planning a wedding is hard mm-hmm. and overwhelming. So you really have to make it condensed just so you get the point across, but also appealing enough that the bride wants to stick around, or the couple, the spouse, whoever you're photographing, right. the families, whatever, just to stick around long enough to actually read the copy on the page. And so many times these photographers fall into, can I use colorful language here?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I'll put the explicit on.
I call these no shit stories, and all of the industries are guilty of this some way, shape or form. But photographers I found do this especially, where they tell these no shit stories like, I love capturing your family's beautiful moments. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, I've seen no that. Shit,
what else do you do with a camera in your hand? Like, mm-hmm. when I come to your site looking for a photographer, I expect to see that. That's not going to stand out. That's not going to grab my attention. It means nothing to me at that point. It's fluffy and no, I'm out. So that is a challenge that I've had with photography clients, because they want that. They're like, oh, but I love my art. I love being a photographer. I really honestly love capturing moments. And I'm like,
it's fine. Nobody cares.
Yeah. At this part, we don't need to talk about that. So that is the challenge too, because they want to say that, and they want to really show how much they love their craft, but like that shows up in their work and in their testimonials and in their reviews. But also, you know, aside from capturing beautiful moments, that there are a lot of cliches in the photography industry, like professional third wheel, or you won't even notice I'm there,
yep.
you know, things like that. So that's challenging as a copywriter, because I've at this point written, I don't even know how many photography sites. So I have to come up every time with a new way to say, professional third wheel, or you know, things like that. So that's definitely a challenge, especially when you do so many in that industry.
Right. I can imagine it getting repetitive, but mm-hmm. also, you know, I love seeing the creativity from you though, and I'm sure that the questions that you ask just really make you know what's unique about a person. I think the last question I want to ask, and it might be a tough one, since I didn't prep anything like this, but is there any big brands that people might be familiar with that you see them doing a good job with? I mean, copy can be a lot of things in advertising. So is there any specific big brands that you think are doing a good job? Or if you want to talk about ones that are doing a bad job, that would be good too.
Okay. So good copy comes to mind first. And let me just preface it with this. So many people think that copywriting is just another like marketing strategy. Like, oh, well, if you have good copy, that'll help with visibility and leads. And that's not what copy is about at all. Copy is not marketing. Copy is sales. Copy is advertising. Good copy means you're going to get paid. Mm-hmm. Good marketing means you're going to get seen. So there's a total difference there. So when I think about good copy, the first things that come to mind, big brand wise, our products. Product copy is so good. So good. Apple does a really great job with product copy, obviously. They use a lot of literary devices, which are like candy to the brain when it comes to sales. So Apple does a great job. I saved it to my Instagram highlights. I've done this a couple times now where I do like product copy breakdowns. And the first time I did it on hair care products, and I want to say it was Duke Cannon from Target, mm-hmm. that Target men's brand. And just side note, men's product copy is like all the time better than female copy. I don't know why. It's really disheartening. But every time I see like a man's product, it is 9 times better. It is so good. So when I'm thinking about good copy, Duke Cannon's hair product, their shampoo, my husband has really long hair, like thor hair. And so we're all the time looking for shampoos that are going to be good for both of us. We have different hair types, but there's lots of hair in this house. So hair care is something I pay really close attention to. And this copy on this hair shampoo bottle basically said, long story short, your hair is a weapon. And it was talking about, like, you use our product, your hair becomes a weapon. And it put emphasis on the buyer being the one that comes out winning. Whereas women's copy, this is on the story as well, I think I did the comparison between his shampoo and my dry shampoo. And it said something like, our product doesn't leave residue, or something just like really bland and boring, but about the product, not about the person buying it. So that's a difference between good and bad copy. Mm. Also another one that comes to mind that's also, I think, on my story highlights, Dr. Squatch is a men's soap brand. They do an amazing job with their copy. Their ads are really, really good. Which ads, commercial, all of that is copy. So they do a really great job. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a really bad one. I can't think of a bad one. Hopefully no big brand,
right?
Bad copy that's right. Like approved and published and put on shelves anywhere. But right. Definitely men's products are killing it in the copy department right now. Mm-hmm. So
have you seen a Manscaped?
No.
Oh, I hear them because I listen to podcasts nonstop and they're always advertising on podcasts, but it's a shaving tool, and they're, you know, I feel like men's tools, a lot of times, like you said, it's a lot more aggressive language. And so, or funny, or they can be more raunchy because it's geared towards men, and they're like, you know, they talk about, you know, keeping your junk clean and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, like,
but, it's like men's copy isn't afraid, as if the copy were like
a living. Right. We're like talking about it like it's a person.
So like they aren't, whoever is the genius behind men product copy, they actually let loose with the personality. Whereas for some reason, women's copy is still behind, and it's so poised and like delicate. And I'm not into it. I'm just not into it. And I know like there are different personas for everybody. But, I mean, Dr. Squatch soap, we bought 4 bars at one time because I was like, I want to use this stuff too. Like, it's all natural. I'm into it. The copy's great.
I love that. I love it. Oh, my gosh. We talked about so much good stuff. I just want to know if you have, like, one – I mean, you have a lot of good golden rules or big tips, like your top 3 on your website. What's something that you would say for – like the average person just starting to like get into, whether it's their own brand or just trying to write more, like what's your advice for staying unique, getting into yourself? Like what's a quick, like get, this is what you should just start with. Like you're probably doing this wrong.
I guess the biggest thing is learning more about yourself. So whether that's self-awareness internally, where you're journaling and you're just like reading more, maybe you're doing more personal development, just getting to know you better, or being open to criticism and feedback from your friends and family. And they're the people that'll call you out first and say, oh, you don't really sound like that. That's not how you talk.
Yeah.
That's a big one. The other thing, I guess, is just listening to yourself more, actually turning on your voice memos and talking through your content. And when you listen back to it, read along with whatever you read as you're listening to it, and you're gonna start to notice what's auto-correcting in your brain. What doesn't sound right? What did you auto-correct to make it sound more like you? Because most of the time when you're talking and you're typing out your content, you're still trying to throw on that little bit of edge of like professionalism, mm-hmm. or like your expertise. But it's not really sounding like you as a person. So always read it out loud. Always listen back to it. And then do some soul searching, do some digging, or ask your family and friends to be like, yo, does this sound like me?
I love it. That totally makes sense. Actually reading it out loud, and does it sound like you, or does it sound like fake you? Like.
Exactly.
I can guarantee there's stuff on my website I need to fix. Like, I'm like, I think I'm getting closer. And then I read it again. I'm like, this is nothing. Like,
Well, and I'll tell you, the biggest thing in writing my own website, I got to a point where I knew I needed to redo my website, and I didn't love it. And honestly, the copy on there now is a product of me just being like, screw it. I'm into it. This is what I like.
Yes. And you, like I said before, you have the best website I've ever seen. I'm not even just, I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. Like, it's the best I've ever seen. And so tell everybody where they can find you. Tell them the website. I mean, you can just search her name and you'll find her, but you can tell everyone because it's so good.
Awesome. Thank you. It's Katie Pennell. That's double N and double L. Like Lindsay said, Pennell, not panel. That's on the website. So it's at, I'm on Instagram at Katie Pennell Co. My website is Katie Pennell Co. Facebook, Katie Pennell Co. as well. And my Facebook group is Fluff Off. And you can just search Fluff Off or Copywriting That Doesn't Suck. Either way, you'll get there.
Yeah, you'll find her and you'll learn even more of all the good tips. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I seriously learned so
much. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm going to listen back and like take notes. And I hope everyone who's listening is taking notes because it was so good. Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me ramble.
Oh, of course. I love it. I love listening to people who are smarter than me at so many things. So.
'I know you guys enjoyed that conversation with Katie. Like she said, follow her on Instagram. Definitely go to her Facebook group, Fluff Off. You'll find it there. I'm in it. She teaches some great stuff. And look into her chili lime method. It is exactly what anyone who wants to learn more about writing needs to hear. So look into all that stuff. And if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, screenshot it. I know the episode's almost over, so make sure you're screenshotting it quick and share it, tag us, all those things. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and really just spread the word about this podcast because I am so proud of this interview. I'm so lucky to have some of these amazing guests and they need to be heard. This episode needs to be heard. These conversations need to be heard by more people. So I love it when you guys share it. I love it when you guys give me feedback. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And party on.
Thank you for listening to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. You can listen to the podcast and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, listen on Spotify and wherever podcasts are found, and follow the pod on Instagram at Pish Posh Pod to stay up to date on all of our great content. Check it out.